Hi gang, Bob Boving here to welcome you to the Mystery Project. Tonight, we're starting a story that will run over the next several weeks as a web of circumstance winds like a skein of wool gone mad around one Andrew Marsh. And like all good serials, this one is filled with hang-ups, takedowns, and cliffhangers. It's called Find the Lady. In the play by David Ellis, Andrew Marsh is not looking for, nor is he ready for, adventure. He's busy enough just trying to make ends meet for himself and his high-spending wife, Joyce. Then a cynical, smirking policeman shows up at his door to upset their precarious balance. And like a soccer ball, Andrew Marsh is suddenly in play.
Good evening. It's Andrew Marsh.
Yes?
Detective Sergeant Rankin. I'd like a word with you.
I see your warrant card.
I was just going to show it to you. There you are, Mr. Marsh.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. What's this about, Sergeant?
Oh, perhaps it'd be better if I came in, sir. You don't want your neighbors seeing you talking to policemen.
You think they'd guess what you are?
They tell me I look like a typical copper. So if you don't mind.
Come in, Sergeant.
Thanks. Nice flat you've got, Mr. Marsh.
We like it.
Yes. Different to the sort of homes most of our customers have. Do you mind if I sit down?
Please do.
Thanks. Do you know what it's like being on your feet all day, Mr. Marsh?
I can imagine.
Oh, you're one of these lucky blokes that earns his living sitting behind a desk, eh?
I'm on my feet some of the time.
Doing what, Mr. Marsh?
I beg your pardon.
How do you earn your living?
I sell second-hand cars.
Not much of a job, is it?
Why, you're looking for recruits for the police force?
Not right now, I'm not. You didn't buy that in this country, did you?
What?
That oversized, what do you call it, the poof?
As a matter of fact, I bought it in a bazaar in Champollion Street in Cairo. It's made of camel hide and I paid £12 for it. Would you like to see the receipt?
I'm not interested in the shopping you did in Egypt, Mr. Marsh. When were you there, by the way?
3 years ago.
Where do you do your shopping in London? For instance, if I mentioned Rutland's of Bond Street and Wiley's of Oxford Street, would you know who they are?
I've heard of them.
Mm-hmm. They have this sort of customers who always pay by check. You've never used their shops?
Not that I can remember. My wife might have been a customer of theirs.
Might have been, Mr. Marsh? Past tense?
From what I've heard about them, they don't put tickets on their goods. You buy first and ask the price later.
That's about it.
At the moment, I have to know what it's going to cost me before I say, wrap it up, I'll take it.
You've got this flat on a lease, haven't you?
Yes, 5 years.
Yes, the rent must be, seeing you're only half an hour from the West End, I'd say, £500-600 a year? How do you manage to pay that much, Mr. Marsh?
Sergeant, exactly what are you doing here? Making inquiries about my financial status, finding out about my shopping habits, or just resting your feet?
Could say I'm doing a bit of each, sir. Your wife at home, Mr. Marsh?
No.
Not home from the office yet?
She doesn't work. As a matter of fact, she's at the hairdresser's.
Oh.
Do you think we could get to the point?
Yes, I don't see why not. Well, it's like this. Rutland's and Wiley's and a few more shops like them have been... Well, they've been having second thoughts about being so free and easy on this business of taking checks. You see, someone's taken advantage of their good nature.
Really?
Yes. Mind you, these ritzy shops are not the only ones who've been taken for mugs. The big department stores have copped it as well. In fact, it's getting a bit out of hand.
What is?
I thought I'd explain that. I'm talking about the dud check racket, Mr. Marsh.
Oh, I see.
The Yard have had to set up a special sort of section to deal with it. But let's get one thing straight, though. When I say dud check, I don't mean the bouncer, the one that a bloke gives you and then it comes back from your bank marked RD, meaning the bloke's no funds in his account. When I say dud check, I mean the villain who's signed it has no bank account at all. He's used a fictitious name and he's given a false address. You with me so far, Mr. Marsh?
Yes, but I don't see why you're giving me this glimpse behind the scenes, fascinating though it is.
You'll see in a minute. See, when these dud checks get to this special section of the Yard, they keep an eye on numbers. Because every now and then they find a bunch of numbers that follow each other. In other words, the checks all came out of the same book.
Yes?
Right. Well, I'm concerned about one of these books that's just turned up. Now, it's been passed on to us because it was issued by a bank in our manor, the Southeastern. Something wrong, Mr. Marsh?
No.
You looked for a second like you thought you'd sold a car, then the bloke changed his mind.
Oh.
Anyway, as I was saying, we've got these dud checks that all came out of the same book, and it was issued by the Southeastern. Do you know who it was issued to?
I've no idea.
They issued it to you, Mr. Marsh. Well?
Well?
What? Well, can you tell me how those dud checks came out of a book that was issued to you?
Someone must have found one I lost.
Oh, you lost a checkbook?
Yes.
Oh, when?
Oh, about a month or so ago. I'm not sure exactly.
You didn't tell your bank you lost it, Mr. Marsh?
No.
And why not?
Well, I intended to tell them. It must have slipped my mind. I was busy.
Selling second-hand cars?
Trying to sell them.
Oh, I wish I could forget about my checkbook. But, of course, in our job, we have to pay our bills.
So do I. But I'm paid in cash. I've used that.
Mm-hmm. Have you? That fancy piece of furniture over there is a desk, isn't it, Mr. Marsh?
Yes.
Would you mind opening it to see if you can find a piece of writing paper?
All right. Now what?
Do you mind writing the name Derek Brown?
Yeah, Brown with or without an E.
Please yourself, Mr. Marsh.
All right. There. Is that what you want, Sergeant?
That'll do nicely, Mr. Marsh. Brown with an E.
I imagine the type of people who are customers of shops like Wiley's and Rutland's would spell it that way.
And did you imagine they'd spell Derrick, D-E-R-R-I-C-K?
I didn't think about it.
Is that so? Of course, you'll have guessed that Derrick Brown's the name the bloke used when he signed those dud checks I told you about.
Well?
Well, he spelt Derrick, D-E-R-R-I-C-K. I-C-K.
And you think that means something?
Could. Yes, could, Mr. Marsh. You see, that isn't the only way to spell it. Sometimes it's D-E-R-E-K, and then, of course, there's one of those actor chaps that spells it D-E-R-Y-C-K. But you picked the spelling that Chummy used.
Coincidence, Sergeant.
I don't believe in them, Mr. Marsh.
They do exist.
Not in my book. You've lived here just on 4 years, haven't you?
Yes.
Before that, your address was Flat Free, Blenheim House, Princess Gardens.
It was?
When Derrick Brown put his address on the back of his dud checks, that's the one he used.
You're saying that I am Derrick Brown?
I'm suggesting you could be.
It's more than a suggestion, isn't it? You're convinced I passed those checks.
I have to go on evidence. Look at the evidence again. You forgot to let your bank know you'd lost your checkbook. The dud checks came out of that book. They were signed with a name you can spell two or three ways, but you used the way Chummy used, and D-A-R-R-I-C-K, Brown, with an E, Mr. Marsh. He gave the address where you used to live.
Andrew, what do you think of my Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a visitor.
I won't be long, Joyce.
Good evening, Mrs. Marsh.
Good evening.
I'm Detective Sergeant Rankin. I'm very pleased to meet you.
Detective Sergeant, Andrew, is something wrong?
No, just a slight misunderstanding. I'll explain later.
Oh. Well, I'd better do something about dinner. Excuse me, Sergeant Rankin.
Of course, Mrs. Marsh, of course. You know, Mrs. Marsh looks like she buys her clothes from smart places, like Wiley's and Rutland's. Yes, what they call the sophisticated type, isn't she?
She wouldn't like it if she heard you call her a type. My wife prefers to think of herself as an individualist.
Oh, different from my missus, Mr. Marsh. Oh, she's a type if ever there was one. Still come to that, we both are. She's a typical housewife and I'm a typical copper.
You seem rather proud of the fact.
I am, Mr. Marsh, I am. You know, I'll bet my wife's cheaper to keep in clothes than yours is.
Are you sympathizing with me?
No, just thinking aloud, Mr. Marsh. You know, all that stuff that Chummy bought with those checks, that would have suited Mrs. Marsh. Oh, by the way, what do you think of the evidence I went over just now?
Very circumstantial. I don't think a jury would convict me.
They might. Still, we have to be sure.
So, I'll be able to have my dinner at home tonight.
Yes, yes, you're lucky. I'll be having mine in the canteen. You ever had anything to eat in a police station, Mr. Marsh?
No.
Well, for your sake, I hope you never have to. Where was this taken?
What?
This photograph, you in uniform.
Courier.
National serviceman?
Yes.
Oh, second lieutenant as well. Well, that might do you a bit of good.
In what way?
Well, a good army record always goes down well in court. You'll be at home over the weekend if I want to have another word with you.
I work all day tomorrow, but I'll be at home in the evening and on Sunday.
Hope you enjoy your dinner, Mr. Marsh.
I hope you enjoy yours, Sergeant. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Marsh.
Andrew?
What?
Do you like my hair?
Yes, very nice. Have you started on the dinner yet?
No, but it's only stewing steak. Open the tin for me, will you? It won't take long to get it ready.
I'll open the tin for you, but you'll have to eat by yourself. I've got to go out.
Don't bother with the tin, then. I'll have an egg or something. What will you do?
I'll get a sandwich at the pub. I want to see Roger.
What about?
Oh, business. I'll be back in an hour or so.
Oh, all right. Andrew?
Yes?
What did that policeman want?
He was making inquiries about a checkbook I lost.
Give my love to Roger.
All right. See you later.
All right, Mr. Sherwin?
Yes, thanks, George. She only wanted to tell me how much she adores me.
Any more calls from your girlfriend, I'll have to charge you for using my living room.
You make far too much out of me already. Cheers.
Cheers, sir. Mr. Sherwin?
At your service, George.
Look, is there any chance of any more cigarettes, you know, like the last lot?
I'll consult my fairy godmother. If the time's right for her to wave a wand, I'll give you a ring tomorrow.
Well, leave it till the afternoon, would you? The wife will be round at her sister's and I can talk more. Oh, evening, Mr. Marsh.
Good evening. Hello, Roger.
Greetings, Andrew, old man. A pint of your best bit of a Mr. Marsh, George.
Right, on its way up from the barrel, Mr. Sherwin.
Any sandwiches left, George?
Yes, we've got ham, cheese or roast beef.
I have a couple of rounds of cheese.
Cheese, right, I'll get them right away, Mr. Marsh.
Thank you. Roger, I want to talk to you.
Permission to speak granted.
Look, you remember when Joyce was away? Mm-hmm. Oh, before I forget, she sent you a love. Are you listening?
Oh, apologies, old man. My attention was elsewhere.
Yes, I know. I saw her come in. By the way she's drooling over that chap she's with, you haven't a chance.
Just as well. She looks like the sort that's never without a blank marriage license in a handbag.
It's about time you had your name on one.
Thank you, Mother, but no thank you. I'll share anything with a lady except my name and my bank balance.
2 rounds of cheese, Mr. Marsh, and a pint of bitter. It's 5 and 7, if you please.
Oh, take it out of there, George.
All right.
Oh,
thanks, Roger.
What were you saying about when Joyce was away?
Has it changed, Mr. Sherwin?
Oh, thank you, George.
Come and sit down.
I'm perfectly happy standing up.
Well, I'll be happier when you're out of sight of that female. I want all your attention, not half of it. Roger, I am in one hell of a mess.
Tell them they have to wait for their pound of flesh.
No, I'm afraid the law won't wait.
Did you say the law?
Yeah. Cast your mind back to when Joyce had been away about a month.
That would be roughly about the time mother-in-law had a third relapse.
Something like that. I came in here one night, and you introduced me to a girl.
Angela, Caroline, Fenella, Sheila, Ursula.
Sheila. Sheila it was. Now, I don't...
Oh, hang on a minute. Let me take her out of the files. Sheila. Ah, yes. 23-ish. Hair verging on the Titian. Statistics adequate. Preferred listening to talking. Last name Ramsay, correct?
Perfect. Now, did she tell you I took her out to dinner?
Good God, no. You're joking, aren't you?
As a matter of fact, I took her out 3 or 4 times.
You, the life president of the Married Men's Union?
Yes, and I wish I'd never met the blasted girl.
Why, has Joyce found out?
There's nothing to find out. I took her out to dinner because I wanted someone to talk to.
Oh, no. You can think of a better one than that.
But it happens to be true. Now, the last time I took her out, she asked me up to her place for a drink.
And you went, because all the talking you'd indulged in had made you thirsty.
Now, don't fool around, Roger. This is damn serious.
Well, tell me why.
Well, next morning, after I'd been up to her place, I mean, I missed my checkbook. Now, I knew I'd had it the night before, because I'd used it to pay our bill at the restaurant. The only place I could think of where I might have lost it was Sheila's flat. Well, I phoned her, but she said she hadn't found it.
What about the restaurant?
Well, I phoned them as well. They hadn't found it. And, like a damned fool, I didn't tell my bank about it.
Why like a damned fool?
I have had a visit from a detective sergeant Rankin. Mm. My checkbook's turned up again. Someone's used it to go on a shopping expedition in the West End.
You mean your signature's been forged?
No. They signed the checks as Derek Brown. But the devil of it is they gave the address of our old flat. And that isn't all. Rankin asked me to sign the name Derek Brown, and I used exactly the same spelling that had been used on the checks.
A coincidence.
Well, Rankin doesn't think so. Roger, Sheila Ramsay must have helped herself to my checkbook. I can't see any other explanation.
And I can't see anyone, even a shop assistant, accepting her as a man. Not even in the West End.
Well, she could have passed the checkbook on to someone, couldn't she? Someone who posed as Derek Brown. Now, do you know any of her boyfriends?
Not apart from you.
Oh.
All right, I apologize. Well, actually, I know very little about her. I'd only met her in here. Why didn't you tell your policeman friend about her?
Because I don't want anyone to know about her, unless it's absolutely necessary. I mean, you didn't believe I just wanted to talk to her. Well, neither would Rankin. More important still, at the moment, Joyce had never believed that all I wanted from Sheila Ramsay was conversation.
Hmm. Domestic situation still dicey, eh?
It is, and it won't improve till my bank manager starts calling me sir again. Joyce was born to eat caviar. She blames me for the fact that she's reduced a stewing steak out of a tin. Oh, I suppose she's right.
You've done everything you can to get her caviar back again.
Well, obviously Joyce wouldn't agree with you. And if she found out that I'd spent money on another woman, things would be worse between us than they are now.
Suppose this policeman chap dangles a warrant in front of you. Will you keep your mouth shut all the way to the Bastille?
Well, I blazes. If it comes to that, he'll have to know about Sheila. But in the meantime, I'm going to see if I can get her to tell me who Derek Brown is.
She wasn't very forthcoming the first time you mentioned your checkbook, was she?
No, but I didn't press the point then. There wasn't the same urgency as there is now.
Hmm. Well, perhaps I can do something.
Oh, why should you?
No, I brought you and Sheila together. Apart from that, I've got contacts that a respectable citizen like you wouldn't know about. If darling Sheila's involved in skullduggery, I'll know before closing time tomorrow.
Your contacts might resent your curiosity. You'd better keep out of it.
Sorry, old man. For once, you'll have to forget your sacred independence. I'm as anxious as you are to find Derek Brown.
Well, all right. But don't get yourself into any trouble on my account.
Trouble and I have an arrangement. We keep out of each other's hair. Here, let me get you another drink.
No, thanks. I'm going. I want to call at Sheila's flat on the way home.
What now?
Well, it's only 8:30.
Leave it till the morning.
No. The sooner I know whether Sheila Rems is going to cooperate, the better.
There's no one of that name lives here.
You must be mistaken. I was in this flat a few weeks ago.
You weren't, you know.
And the tenant of it was definitely Sheila Ramsay.
It definitely wasn't. No one of that name's ever lived here. Before me, it was somebody called McDonald, and they'd lived here for years. You've come to the wrong flat.
The house is only converted into two, this one and the flat downstairs. I can hardly have come to the wrong one.
Then you've come to the wrong house.
Well, this is 69, isn't it?
It is.
Sheila Ramsay lived at 69.
Then you've come to the wrong road. I've never heard of anybody called Ramsay.
Get friendly with neighbours, darling. You've only got to smile at them and they're always ringing the bell and borrowing something, aren't they?
But Sheila Ramsay only lived in the flat upstairs. If you didn't know her, you must have seen her.
Sorry, darling. I only moved in here last week.
Well, what's happened to the people who had this flat before you?
They've gone to Australia. Or is it New Zealand? Anyway, darling, they've gone.
You can't help me, then.
It depends what kind of help you want, darling. No, look, I'm really not dressed for standing in a drafty doorway, am I? Why don't you come in? We could introduce ourselves. My name's Carol, and we could talk about Sheila or something.
Some other time, thanks.
I may not be free some other time.
Well, that'll be my loss, won't it? Good night.
Good night, darling. Give my love to Sheila, if you ever find her.
Do you want any more coffee, Joyce?
Please. Was there any post for me?
No. The telephone bill's gone up again. Here's your coffee.
Thank you. Will you be using the car this morning?
No. You can have it.
Can you let me have some money for shopping, too?
Now, I'll put it on your dressing table. I'm going to shave.
Wait a minute. What did that policeman want to see you about?
Well, I told you, I lost a checkbook.
Have the police found it?
No. Someone's used the checks and signed them with a false name.
How does that concern you?
Well, it doesn't, but the police thought that if I could tell them where I lost it, it might give them a clue or something.
Do you know where you lost it?
No, I've no idea. 3793.
Andrew, it's Roger. Have I disturbed your slumbers?
No. What are you doing up at this time in the morning?
Well, actually, I haven't been to bed yet. Did you see your fair lady?
No, the customer doesn't live there anymore.
Customer?
Hmm.
Message received and understood. Joyce is there, is she?
Yes. Roger, do you want anything special? I'm in a hurry.
Well, actually, old man, I think I know where your customer is.
Uh-huh. Give me the address.
I can't hear you, Andrew. There's something wrong with this line.
I said...
You're still not coming through very well. Can you meet me somewhere later?
All right. 1 o'clock in the usual place.
What time did you arrange to meet him then, Mr. Marsh?
1 o'clock. What's the time now, George?
What is your watch stopped?
No, I came out in a hurry and forgot it.
It's just turned 20 past.
Well, if he isn't here in another 10 minutes, I'll have to go. George, do you know any of the girls that Mr. Sherwin meets in here?
Well, only as customers, more's the pity.
Now, a few weeks ago, he introduced me to one of them, a red-haired girl called Sheila Ramsey. Now, do you remember her?
Sheila? No, I don't think... No, not offhand.
Well, look, if you hear her name mentioned, let me know, will you? I want to get in touch with her.
Close touch, I'll bet, eh? By heck, I wouldn't mind her. Oh, hang on a minute, will you, Mr. Marsh? The wife's calling.
Yes, what do you want, then, Elfie?
It's a phone call for you, Mr. Marsh.
Who is it? Roger Sherwin?
Well, I don't know. The wife didn't say. The phone's in the sitting room. It's the first on the right.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Mr. Andrew Marsh.
Yes, who's that?
This is the West Middlesex Hospital. We phoned Elmfield Service Station and they gave us this number. We've some bad news for you about your friend, Roger Sherwin.
What's happened?
He's been in an accident, Mr. Marsh. Can you get here as quickly as possible?
Yes, of course. Is he seriously hurt?
Come to the casualty department, Mr. Marsh.
All right, but I asked you, is he seriously hurt? Hello? Is he seriously hurt?
I'm afraid he's dead, Mr. Marsh.
Dead? Good God, Doctor, how did it happen?
Perhaps we'd better go in my office. The casualty ward isn't the best place to talk. Are you a relative of, what did you say his name was?
Roger Sherwin. Mm. No, we'd been friends for a long time. As a matter of fact, I had a drink with him only last night. Was Roger driving when it happened?
I understand he was crossing the road. This car came round the corner and...
Oh, I see.
Do you know if Mr. Sherwin has any relatives living in the district?
No, he hasn't. His parents died a few years ago. He's got an aunt in Scotland. I don't know her address, though.
You're quite sure the articles I showed you belong to your friend?
Oh, yes. I gave him the wallet last Christmas. And the wristwatch was a birthday present to himself. I think a girl gave him the lighter.
You understand why I'm so insistent on this point, Mr. Marsh?
He can't be identified physically.
I'm afraid he can't.
Hmm.
Facial injuries make it completely impossible. Yes?
Excuse me, sir. Is it all right if I have a word with this gentleman?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it is, Constable.
Thank you. May I have your name, sir?
Andrew Marsh.
And I believe you say the deceased's name was Roger Sherwin.
Yes.
His address, sir?
Well, he lived in a houseboat. It's moored on the river at Hampton Court. I can't remember the address, but I've got it at home. I can let you have it.
How did you come to hear about the accident, sir?
Well, I had a phone call. Constable,
just a minute, sir. Who phoned you?
Well, someone from this hospital, of course.
Did they give you a name?
No.
Where were you when you got this phone call?
In the King's Head. It's a pub in...
Yeah,
the...
I know where it is. Thank you, sir. How did they know at the hospital that you'd be there?
Oh, they phoned the firm I work for and they told them.
Who do you work for, sir?
Elmfield Service Station.
I see. Well, thank you, sir. Doctor, do you mind if Mr. Marsh waits in your office till I get back?
Oh, no, that's quite all right.
Constable, why are you so interested in me?
Routine, sir. Won't keep you long.
Doctor?
Yes?
Do you know any more about the accident than the fact that Roger was crossing the road?
I can tell you that the car didn't stop.
Do the police know who was driving it?
No. Well, they have an eyewitness. I believe she was unable to describe the driver, though.
Well, I hope someone can describe him.
Yes, I'll have to leave you, Mr. Marsh. If there's anything you want, just ask one of the nurses.
Oh, thanks. Oh, Doctor, do you know what the time... Oh, damn.
At the third stroke, it will be 1:55:20. At the third stroke, it will be 1:55:30. At the third stroke, it will be 3:10:10.
I believe you want a word with me, sir.
Yes. How much longer do you expect me to stay here?
As a matter of fact, sir, I was on my way to see you when the nurse collared me. Said you were getting a bit impatient.
I've had half the staff looking for you.
I've been on the phone, sir. Anyway, these things always take time.
What things?
I'm coming to that. First of all, sir, Would you like to change your previous statement?
Would you like to tell me what the blazes you're talking about?
Your statement referring to how you knew about the accident.
Well, why should I change it? It's the truth.
Is it, sir?
For heaven's sake, man, don't be so damn mysterious.
Losing our tempers isn't going to help.
We're not losing our tempers. I am losing mine. And do you wonder? You leave me here for over an hour without any reasonable explanation while you go and amuse yourself on the telephone.
Is that all, sir?
For the moment, yes.
Right, sir. Well, get on, then. I wanted you to wait because when Mr. Sherwin was brought in here, his pockets were turned out. And there wasn't a single thing, no driving license, nothing, with his name on it. It wasn't until you walked in and started asking about Roger Sherwin and identified his property that anybody knew who he was.
Of course they knew.
Impossible, sir.
But someone phoned me and told me Roger had been in an accident.
They didn't phone you, sir. They couldn't have done. Because there was nothing in his pockets that had your name on it either.
Damn it, the hospital rang my firm.
So you said. I've just been on to Elmfield Service Station, and they say they never had a call from the hospital.
Then how did I know there'd been an accident?
Just what I was going to ask you, sir. In the circumstances, I hope your answer this time will be nearer the truth.
Oh, now we're back to the mystery bit again. What circumstances?
Your friend's accident was no ordinary hit and run, sir. The driver could have avoided him, but he deliberately ran him down.
What?
According to our eyewitness, sir, it was nothing less than murder.
We have just started the David Ellis series, Find the Lady. In the cast, you heard Noel Johnson as Andrew Marsh and Henry Stamper as Sergeant Rankin. Joyce was played by Fenella Hasbrook and Clive Mannering was Roger. Next time, Andrew slips deeper into a whirlpool of trouble. On the heels of losing his checkbook, he next loses his car and a friend. The executive producer of The Mystery Project is Bill Howell. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. See you next week.